Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check. I'm going to start here because this is the most annoying thing, situation I'm in. I'm parked behind a car. Oh, there he goes. All right, he got his bag at a Wendy's drive-in. Now, I thought I was pulling into a Tim Hortons drive-in. Apparently not. As I ordered my dark roast, she said, sorry, this is Wendy's. Tim Hortons on the other side. And, but it's sort of a one-way lane, so you're stuck and you're waiting for somebody else to get their order. Now, he got his. I have been here before, and it is the most confusing ever Tim Hortons drive-through at a very busy place. This is near Warden Avenue. I've got a meeting at 12:30 with the teachers. Jesus Christ. You cannot see. There's a huge trailer truck of Tim Hortons blocking all signage. There's cars coming from all angles. The sign you drive into says Tim Hortons Wendy's. And now I see. Okay. Here I am. All right. Okay. Starting all over. I'm in the right lane now. What is this salted caramel ice cap? Ooh, that sounds good. No.
Can I help you?
Yeah, could I have a small dark roast with just one cream, please?
Small dark roast, one cream?
Yep. Do you have seniors pricing or is it all the same?
Sorry?
Do you have seniors
pricing? No, sir, I don't have option for
this. Okay, that's fine. Then I'll take it anyway.
Okay.
Thank you, that's all.
150.
Thank you. I have a card anyway. I had to ask that. You know, come on. Because you expected it of me. What a jerk. Oh, my God. All right, anyway, I know you might say, well, that was another senior's mistake going through the wrong drive-thru, but it was not well-marked, and I don't care. My wife gets insulted every time they give her a free Tim Hortons card worth $5. Like, why bother? I shouldn't give too many other details. She's always embarrassed. She doesn't like me mentioning anything private. But I end up with these $5 Tim cards. And really, what is the point? It's nuts. So, I'll get myself a coffee while I fill in time with you. So I'm going to take advantage of you. I'm going to ask you to be patient while I... Oh, shit, drop the cards. While I get my coffee. Oh, that guy's paying with his iPhone. I'm not up to that yet. But let's see what I got on this card. I assume it's enough for coffee. Oh, come on. Three times you have to do that with your iPhone? Yeah, it's Saturday. My stress levels are still... Sorry if I'm shouting. I don't have the earbuds in. Oh, my God. Fourth time with the fucking iPhone. Like, what's wrong? For a puny little coffee. Like, why bother? Of course, I'm using a card, but it's faster. All right. Here we go. Ready or not. Small black coffee. Dark roast. And that's a small black coffee dark roast that I ordered. The guy in front of me looked like that's what he got. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I'm paying for. You can give me a big one if you want, but... This is, yes, that's right. It's on a card. Thank you. Can you tell me how much is left on that card? Does it say?
$6.25 balance.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we're off. We did that part. Okay. And I will go back to the restaurant where we're meeting, Tatami Sushi. Tatami is an, oh boy, now cars coming in all directions. Four directions of traffic here, and everybody in a hurry. All right, it's crazy. That's Scarborough. So, yeah. Tatami is the restaurant. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. They put an iPad in front of you, and you just keep ordering everything you want. And, you know, I'll have multiples, you know, spicy tuna, this and that. And I like it. I mean, it's not a place, it's not a gourmet place. I to this day, I have no idea how they make any money doing that. But it's still around. And for me, it's a great place for a meeting. Because there's big tables, you can have a booth. There's lots of choices, lots of choices in the menu, of course. But places to sit and just drag it out. You know, that's what they're sort of expecting. You're there for a while. And you take a break and you eat and you talk. And it's what I'm doing today, the purpose of the meeting is to introduce the new teacher to the teacher who's already done this. This will be his third time. So they can sort of divide up the workload. Who's going to teach what part of the workbook? And then go over a list of other things I have on my very informal agenda. I want to introduce a session on Canadian money, currency. So I went and got a sample of every coin, except the 50-cent piece, which you never find, up to a $100 bill. And my plan is to have them get the Canadian students, the Wexford students, to research who is on each bill and teach the Japanese students to do it. And we'll see how that goes. Something new, something different. And then maybe do math quizzes. Okay, who can do it in their head? Maybe even have a, be fun to have little games between each. Okay, it's $20. The bill came to $14.97. How much has changed? And I bet you the Japanese students can do it in their head. And the Canadian students, that might be questionable. I don't know. That's just a theory. It can be proved. And it depends. There may be somebody who's just great at this. The other thing is, okay, how much is $20 bill Canadian in Japanese yen? And then maybe give them an exchange rate and have them figure it out. Just for fun, whatever. The other thing I have to tell them is I'm going to be absent because I have to meet my neurologist or the neurology specialist or neurosurgeon, whoever, on a particular day, and I cannot miss that appointment. It's pretty concerning. And yet, I'm always there all the time for every lesson, every session. So I've got to make sure that I can actually assign roles to people. You know, I can prepay for a pizza and arrange for somebody to pick it up. I can maybe hire a part-time helper. There's things to discuss about that. And then the booklet that I print up, you know, 36 copies of, you know, and I'm making it smaller. It used to be well over 100 pages. Last year it was 72. I'd like it to be down about 60 pages this year, if that. And not just as a cost factor, because we don't use so much of it. Anyway, those are things on the agenda for today. And after that, at 4 o'clock, I'm meeting a potential new host family. But when I say potential, they'd have to do something really screwy for me to say, oh, sorry, I can't take you into the program. And that would still leave me missing a minimum of two families. And that's only if I do some juggling around driving, you know, getting somebody to pick up somebody else's kids and so on. There's just so much to it. But I just came back from Staples. And at Staples, hang on, I got to open these windows. At Staples, I do the printing off my USB. My printer is just lousy now, so why bother doing it? I just load everything into a PDF format so that nothing changes about the formatting. And stick your USB key into the printer device And there you go. It's wonderful. It's worked beautifully. And so I have to do, like, name cards or name tags and names for books. And the little stuff like that, I really enjoy doing it. It's like I, you know, back in kindergarten with scissors and paste and cutting up paper sometimes and just preparing stuff. That part's easy, and I do a good job. I take it seriously. I'm very fanatical. I'm neat about it, and then I get to check it off. Okay, that was done on this date. What else is left? What things can I do ahead of time? What things do I have to wait till they've already arrived? Like check writing and thank you letters and so on. There's so much to it, but the majority of it I find very satisfying. It's a good mental test. It makes me feel in control and on top of things, and still is a learning way. Like, I love merge letters. I have to relearn it every single year. How do you merge documents from this Excel spreadsheet with names and addresses into this letter where it's going to drop them in just perfectly? That's just fun. But this business of having to find a family when I don't know, like, I can't just get on the phone and start calling. I've done that. I've sent out letters. I have no idea where these other two families are going to come from. And yet they have to. And I don't have much in reserve in terms of, well, okay, that family I used 8 years ago, I could probably call them. So that bums me out. Anyway, this is just a welcome, a startup to Dixon James. What number are we at? I played song number 2000 on the last episode, and that might have been 744. So maybe this is 745, maybe it's not. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to you. It does matter to me. Down on paper, there's also a record, I've told you, of every single song. Every episode, and all the episodes are up there somewhere. And now that I think about it, what I've just told you is so uninteresting. Doug's last podcast, he talked about 1990, first year university, how he changed as soon as he got there, influenced by somebody who was dressed in black and wore Doc Martens and listened to Peter Murphy. That was fun. That's Doug. That's a real person. I've just told you stuff that doesn't really tell you anything about me personally. On that idea, I remember hearing my son talking about when maybe he was going into middle school, and it was almost like you had to choose an identity of, are you a skater? Are you, I don't think they really had goth in, but are you, you know, who are you? What are you going to dress like? How are you going to present yourself? It's like there were choices. And man, oh man, that is sure different from my time. You didn't think of, you were, maybe you just were somebody, but you really didn't pick from a list or were even that concerned about it. There were predefined jocks, and these are the guys who are good at sports, you know? And I guess for myself, I did have to become a comedian to fit in anywhere. And I did have to develop certain things. The girls liked me. The girls liked me. And that was good. That didn't hurt. The boys, not so much. I wouldn't say there was jealousy. They just thought I was a jerk, probably. And I've already told you, you know, that finding the guys in the back with the page, who's on the good guy list, and of course I wasn't, and immediately pretended it was the old list. Oh, you fuckers. I've never forgiven them. The guy in particular died, I don't know, about 5 years ago, and I didn't care. Ouch. And that's hot. And it's black. They didn't put a cream. Jesus Christ. You know, I gave an order. It was pretty simple. Maybe I threw her off by asking, is there a senior's discount? Which I knew there wasn't. I knew the answer, but hey, come on. Entertainment value. So, yeah. I've had to get by. I never got beaten up. But even the hard rocks, is that a term anybody uses? No. I'm back in high school now. They didn't touch me. Nobody beat me up. Because I was a smart ass. And I guess that's, I earned my safety that way. And by the way, I'm watching a new TV series. It's called, I think it's Bad Blood. And it's about the Rizzuto family in Montreal and organized crime. It's a 14-part series, 2 seasons. And I'm really enjoying it. Number one, because, I knew the background of these stories based on true stories. And it was about, dividing up gambling, drug trade. But in particular, what irked most people was the complete control of the construction industry and sidewalk clearing and everything else by organized crime. Only certain companies put bids in. They're all owned by the same shareholders, and they just took turns getting the contracts, and city employees were paid off to award the contract each time. And they were just, here's your cash, you're taking money from us, so you're already in trouble, but if you don't, something could happen to your kids on the way to school. Who knows? And it's something that really frightens me. It frightens me to this day, the power. You see it here in Toronto. Suddenly there'll be a couple of tow truck companies rivaling for business. And suddenly somebody's parking lot with half a dozen cars is torched. They're all burned. Well, that's not just some little guy doing it out of revenge. That's organized crime. That's somebody's paid some guy, I got a job for you. Here's $5,000, $10,000. Go do a little damage in this parking lot. And they can't catch them, and they can't prove, and it never gets back to the people at the top who issued the order. But the guy who's got the tow truck company gets a message. You fucked with the wrong people, pal. And there was a story of somebody who was going in as an inspector, working for the city of Toronto, some, mild-mannered city employee, going in, and I don't know if it was a restaurant. It seemed to me it would have to be to check a bill of health, but I think it was maybe to serve some paperwork on a tow truck company. They are notorious. And the guy got beaten up, thrown out and beaten up. And it made the news. Like, whoa, you can't do this. And it's like somebody is going to say, somebody who's higher up being paid off is going to say, hey, guys, you can't do that to our people. It just puts the heat on. Yesterday in Scarborough, there was a kid, just graduated high school. I think he was 17. He had a funny nickname, looked like a nice kid. Teachers went around to the house to say this kid was not involved in any trouble, in any gangs, guaranteed. He was a nice kid liked by everybody. And he was just shot dead, in a housing complex where there's a lot of shootings. And they're saying, well, it was targeted. Somebody aimed it. I mean, it was deliberately he was shot. It wasn't a straight bullet. But it might have been mistaken identity. Who knows? But there's a family without a kid. A kid who might have gone on to do who knows what. Have a life. And it's bam. So this is the same thing. Like this series on Bad Blood deals a lot with the biker gangs who are controlling the low-end coke and amphetamines and, selling and smuggling and so on. But they're getting it from much higher up. But they were under the control of the Rizzuto family. And then when the senior Rizzuto got put in jail, the family was picked off one by one. The senior father shot by a sniper in his home, tending tomatoes. The son assassinated, who was about to take over. And finally, the last of the Rizzutos. Well, this, it can't be a spoiler because you should already know this stuff if you have any interest. The shots of Montreal and the surrounding areas, Cornwall and all the places where we read about the news where drug deals are going, it's very well done. It's on Netflix. I recommend it because even if you're not from Montreal, it appeals to me more because I am from Montreal. Things like building the any of the big construction sites, bam, they just charge the max. Bring in all this heavy equipment, and they're getting a kickback immediately from everything, and they're getting a kickback from the city, or the city gets a kickback from awarding the contract, or somebody else does. And it's sheer corruption, but it all ends up passed on to the taxpayer, which in many cases was my father. paying for the Olympic Stadium, a price that just got inflated to hell. And nobody knows what to do to bring an end to this problem. You know, City Hall is rife with corruption. The police force, people are paid off. How do you keep cops from being corrupt? We like to think we're not that way in Toronto, but you know that's not true. And it just strikes me, this is the end, or a very serious point in a liberal democracy, when people in positions of power that will use force to influence others and to corrupt what should be fair systems, I find that so deeply disturbing and very upsetting. And it's awful. So anyway, there's 20 minutes. I filled my time. I filled yours. But at least I got onto a topic. God. All right, Scarborough Dude signing off from outside tatami, sushi, teriyaki, all you can eat. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
The sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender kiss. Add one stolen night of bliss.
The memories you gave me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy. Memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Don't forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave me.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
The memories you gave me.
Your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell, three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days, see how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor.
With his blessings from above,
you can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Serve it generously. One man, one wife, one love through life. Memories are made of this.
Memories you gave me.
Memories are made of this.
Yeah, check, check, check. And before I forget, happy Canada Day to those of you who are Canadians celebrating and those of you who wish you were Canadians. Yeah, I didn't do much today. Well, I spent the day. My wife said, do you want to go for a picnic? And I said, no, I really have to work on the tour. So I spent a good part of the day composing and editing and editing again and editing for a fifth time a letter that I'm going to send out via the church email list saying, okay, girls are arriving this month and I'm still short two host families. It's tough and keeps me awake. And they will appear somehow, somewhere, but I go through this all the time and it's incredibly stressful. But anyway, you've heard enough about that. So that was a good part of the day. And then I cut the name tags. I had them all printed out. Very nice fonts for the name tags for the girls, so that when I take their pictures with the Holtz family, I can identify them right away. Because you got a lot of girls like Haruka, Haruko, and a lot of very similar names, and I just don't learn them. So that's essential. And then I buy the nice little plastic holders with the strings and get that already. So that took up a large part of time. That part is really calming, as I've said. It's just, the school kind of stuff you have to do like a teacher is very, it's very satisfying. Anyway, I am outside Pizza. Nelko, rested a good part of the day. She doesn't sleep well at all. And so I was very, very tired come the weekend. Of course, her work is very stressful, working with aging seniors. And but then later in the day, she'll decide she has to do something. So next thing, I go out on the deck with a beer, first beer of the day, a nice pompous ass. And I see her walking down the lawn with a hammer, and she's going to fix a board that's loose on the fence. Okay, I could have done that, but I didn't even notice. And next thing, she's got a saw, and she's cutting some dead trees and just below our deck. And it's a very awkward. It's on a steep incline. And she's using a saw that the teeth are even smaller than a hacksaw. And it's, it's not working well. And she says, get me an axe. Do we have an axe? And there's no room to swing an axe in this tiny spot. You can't chip with an axe. You've got to really swing it to make it work. And this is kind of a springy wood. That axe is just going to bounce right back. So I'm saying no, but I do know we have a very good cross-cut saw, one of these big orange bowl-shaped ones with great teeth, exactly the perfect saw for this. So at least I go and get her the right saw, but then she's not using it right. And I say, no, not just little back and forth. You got to do the whole length of the saw to make it work. Push and pull. Anyway, I decide it's time for me to get down there, and she's beginning to get very, very flustered. I'm finding it very hard even to walk on uneven ground with nothing to hold on to. It's just getting harder and harder for me. It's crazy. But I did get down there, and she was fine after we got several of the limbs sawed off, and we'll wait to haul the branches out of there. Meanwhile, our outdoor cat who lives on the porch is very unhappy about our coming and going and making noises and so on. So that's how we spent Canada Day, and now I decided, hey, it's time for supper. No, she says, I can't do anything. She fed me, this most incredible, just fish and rice dish the other day, and she makes tofu in a very hot, spicy sauce, and you pour that over some rice, and, oh, my God, she spoils me with the delicious food she cooks. And the little treats, they just come out of nowhere, and suddenly, would you like some of this? Woo-hoo-hoo, you betcha I would. Hey, where are the lights on? My window open? Oh, shut that off. Okay. I'm in her car. Hang on. Okay. So anyway, I don't know what else I wanted to tell you. Little girls left alone in their car beeping the horn. My gosh. I saw somebody else. They had their baby in a basket. And they left the basket at the counter. And I'm seeing there's another woman ordering. There's a line of about four people. And this person, there's a baby in a basket, unattended. Doesn't belong to anybody in the line. And finally, some kid comes up and decides he'll pick up the basket and carry it back to where the family seems to be sitting. But I wouldn't leave my kid in a basket at the, at the ordering counter. And I would tell that girl to stop beeping the horn, too. But instead, her older sister is encouraging her. Oh, this is Scarborough. Not everybody was brought up the way I was. Yeah, probably fortunately, but hey, that's another story. Yeah, I guess I had lots of things to say, and now I don't know. A new listener came back. Well, an old listener came back, hadn't heard from me, and apparently enjoyed my lightly drunk episode. You get so little feedback on any episode. I mean, you don't get feedback on episodes, generally speaking, and so if you hear anything, it's quite something. Wow. Really? You listen? Thank you. And it's the same for Twitter, although sometimes you get a little Twitter exchange going when we're on this thing for MMPR. I did brag today that I will be the only person who has been to all the MMPRs, including the Fox Pox in the beginning, and all the PABs. So that's good. Well, good for me. Thank you. Yay. Yay, Ken. Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, neat. They ought to give you a trophy. I don't think so. But I do like, I mean, it's fun. I do like the joining in. I do like the socializing. It's just fun. It's party time. You're playing. You're joking. Like, you know, oh, gee, come on now. Stop that. I'm like, where are the parents? Where are the parents? Stop. You know, I'm waving. Hey, stop. She's not doing anything. She's just letting her lean on the horn. Anyway, yeah, Mark, and there's going to be wives coming this year, which is not as common, you know, which is wonderful. So Mark and Andrea are coming. So, of course, I teased about that, and as Mark would expect of me. Doc Pinko's never met him, so there's all kinds of new things happening. It's going to be a very special MMPR this year, so if you're listening to this on your way there, good for you. Glad you made it. Let's all have fun. All right, it seems I've got nothing. I mean, I can go on these long stories about the train of thoughts that I'll have when I'm in a shower, and one thing just triggers another, and takes you to a place like, wow, how did I get here with my thinking? But that doesn't matter. Okay, yeah, I'm going to stop because I don't have anything in particular in mind. You. Wow.
You should listen to a listen hit. Turn on, tune in, drop out. Should we turn on, tune in, drop out? Invited us to a naked lunch, but Cronenberg turned it into Sunday brunch. You did some bug spray and went to bed. I guess you couldn't tell what dear old William said. And Bob Dylan was ahead of saying everything that was left unsaid. And when he had nothing left to say, he tried to drown it out by plugging into play. Should we turn on, tune in, drop out? Should we turn on, tune in, drop out?
Check, check, check. Oh, hang on. There we go. So I'm in the road trek. It's funny how there are times when I miss the road trek, Sal. Like, I really feel I gotta reconnect. It's like with my cat. I mean, my cat, it's every day. I worry when the cat's out at night, and I just need the contact with her. For Sal, I mean, I can go a few days or... But even within a week, I need to reconnect. I got to get inside. I got to just feel being at home in this vehicle again. It's funny. Anyway, I am sitting here now, and I decided what I'm going to talk about. And that is the letter I referred to, maybe on the last podcast, I don't know, that is in this envelope, 14-cent Canadian stamp, and dated 1978. And the stamp that I put on, or the address, is Amity Packaging, 1118 West 15th Street in North Vancouver. And that's where we had the sheltered workshop, and I was running a shrink packaging company for the few adults I changed and trained. And I don't know if... Well, I won't get into the brain damage that came from heat sealing polyvinyl PVCs with very dangerous chemicals that were emitted, things that were later banned. And I know there were a couple of salesmen who... thought, hey, well, these guys could use it, and if they're already retarded, who cares? I honestly, that's a feeling I had, but it was before the days when you know, people had more awareness and challenged legalities and rights and wrongs. They said, let things slide. All right, anyway, the letter was dated September 6, 1978, so I was 30 years old, so I want you to... keep that in mind. That was 41 years ago. And I'm just going to read sections, so forgive me if it's a little choppy. Let's see. You mentioned a touch of sadness. This is, again, to my sister, older sister, with anything beautiful. And that's true. It's just one of the qualities of life. We can experience so many wonderful and profound feelings, but we can't have or keep or possess any of them. Living is an ongoing process that is always changing. And the most we can try to hang on to is hopes and memories. We can also fall victim to those intangibles. I believe we can have faith in knowing that there will always be something else to treasure in another present. That as we lose one thing, we know there will be another precious moment or feeling not too far away. So this is present Ken now talking. That was just that voice from 40 years ago. And you can see, somebody might argue, well, you haven't made any progress at all. But the things I think now and dwell on and the Zen-like approach to life, I was full on that way 40 years ago. Pardon me, that's a heavy way to start a letter, but I'm just clarifying some of my own beliefs and those I'd like to have, and I'm just carrying on from your letter. Back on the job, same old crap. Was in the door 5 minutes and it felt like a week. A lot is my attitude. Afraid I'm just the lazy young brother I always seem to be. Working is just not my favorite pastime, and it never will be. My 2 week break helped. But already I'm plotting next year's holiday. Pretty sure to make a trip east Canada. Found I missed everyone on my holidays, like it's time to see the family again. So I'd been living out in BC for a few years. And this is before I went to Nigeria, long before I went to Japan. I had a wonderful little apartment on West 2nd in North Vancouver. Okay. I did have a good trip and thoroughly enjoyed the driving. 2,250 miles door-to-door. Car behaved well. This was in Austin, America. Scenery is beautiful as always. A night of debauchery in Prince George for old time's sake. Stayed at the same men's hostel. Found that I'm older now as expected and was glad to leave. The 20s were more carefree days. All new places after that. Enjoyed a night in Prince Rupert in spite of landing on my back in the tub. Not drunk, I slipped on a bar of soap, a real scare. Did find a most interesting bar composed of 90% natives of the self-respecting variety, and the rest were loggers and fishermen. Sorry if that's politically incorrect. All were entertainers, even those working there swore and cursed like the rest of them. The real Canadian West. Left by ferry for Vancouver Island on a sunny day, and within 5 minutes found myself beside a lone female from London, England. Spent the afternoon chatting. She was 30, single, and fun to relate to, and met again in the lounge for a drink before I insisted on her dining with me. Salmon steaks, white wine, a leisurely meal with a table by the window, all very nice. Then her turn to buy me a warm brandy, followed by a stroll on deck as we sailed past the dark forest and mountains. Very romantic, especially passing the lights of Bella Bella. A great joke as well. Indeed, a very nice encounter. Couldn't have been better. Our humors clicked, and we had something in common, both being single, 30, and traveling alone. She was attractive, too, very alive, but the main draw wasn't physical. We just shared some time together. Parted company as we pulled into Port Harvey, and I can trace my restlessness after that to the absence of a brief but comfortable human encounter. We exchanged addresses, and I was complimented for my speeches on Canada and things Canadian, was told I should be working for the CBC, half in jest, but I did enjoy speaking as a Canadian to a visitor. Anyway, it made the ferry trip all I could have hoped for. I did enjoy the freedom of being just me and driving and stopping as I felt, and singing and shouting and being silly in the car the way you can't at other times because of other people being about. That was part of the release I wanted from the holiday. Present Ken jumping in again. I would never have remembered that encounter had it not been for this letter my sister dug up. But it comes back to me now. I can't picture her, but I know it was just so wonderful. It was really romantic and fun. And the business of being in a vehicle on your own and shouting. This is what I do in Sal now, 40 fucking years later. Jesus, it's amazing. Okay. Also saw all the areas of BC I had wanted to and spent a week right on the coast in Long Beach National Park. Wow, those ocean waves and the rocks and the sand and the trees and all the different kinds of seabirds and the sea lions on the offshore rocks and the thrill of seeing a whale spout as a gray whale fed not far away and the wonderful dippy curvy road between the fishing villages of Tofino and Euclid. And the satisfaction from cooking every supper over the campfire, usually steak, and the coziness of my own camp spot, tuning in faraway radio stations, sipping at my bourbon. To be realistic, the evenings alone by the campfire were lonely at times, with no one to talk with and a head full of too many thoughts. Too many impressions to get down, but I especially enjoyed, indeed treasured, two books I had brought by Lawrence Durrell, a favorite new author. One gave me thoughts and feelings I could directly relate with, the frustrations of a young man, and the other balanced those feelings with tranquility and beautiful passages in a book about Cyprus, written years later as a mature man. Perfect reading for the occasion. This holiday is sounding better and better to me. Gotta go now, watch part one of Roots last night at Brenda's, after her giving me the best haircut and beard trim I've had in years. So now off to Glenn's to see part two. Fun talking with you. Bye for now. So I did plan to see Roots at four different friends. I don't know why. I just did strange things. So again, that's back in Vancouver. Okay. Currently, my little operation is $7,500 in the hole. Now, of course, that wasn't my company. I was running it for somebody. Well, that's business. I find it so strange to come in here and pretend I'm a businessman, making calls, talking figures. It's all so unreal, like an adult game, grown-up kid stuff. My real interest is with the handicapped themselves, enjoy so much more being in direct contact with them. But my job is to provide them with jobs. At my best, sitting down beside someone trying to show them how to do something. Instead, I've been promoted to paperwork and responsibility and all the crap that goes with any other company. I'm not really whining. It's been an excellent experience and something I needed. All right, so we move on. That was page two. I hope you're enjoying this. How much time have we got? Sorry. Oh, it's 10 minutes. Now let's keep going. Okay. I shouldn't be writing from work, no. I should have been born a Victorian man of leisure, living off an inheritance, dabbling in the arts and sciences, carrying on a naughty life in London, the yearly trip to the continent. Still wonder who I was in another lifetime, which surprises me because I don't know if I believe in reincarnation or at least a continuation of some part of ourselves, maybe even just in our chemical makeup. I don't know. Home again, supper's over, roast beef and gravy on rice. I was cooking then, wow. And then some more relaxing reading of John Fowle's latest book, Daniel Martin, author of The Collector, The Magus, French Lieutenant's Woman. Enjoying it, still another examination of love and relationships. Heading to Richards for part three of Roots, okay. I thought I might try for a different TV and company every night. All right. No ongoing relationship to speak of. Really should be involved with someone. I think that's what I've been missing for a while now. I've been reading the personal ads in the North Shore News. Several interesting offers of companionship, usually beginning with, young woman tired of the disco scene. May one day write to one. Trying to get my shit together, and I've been seeing for the past decade. Saw the Buddy Holly story. Not a great picture, but enjoyed it. Think you might, too. Debbie's in Hawaii now, went off on her own. A big step, good for her. That was the woman I lived with for several years, my ex-girlfriend, and now one of my closest, dearest friends in life. Her and her fine husband. I think she's finally over past boyfriend. All right, won't get too much into that. Barnacle Bill, I refer to as Bruce, his real name, is somewhere in the Maritimes now. We'll probably return to Vancouver this fall. We were all moving all the time back then. He and I still very good buddies. Nice to have a good friend. Shared many talks over campfires. Peter and Brenda carrying on a relationship they never acknowledged to anyone else. But maybe that's understandable in such a closely knit little group. We were quite incestuous. Everybody knew everybody else's business. We were a really tight little tribe in Vancouver. And the parties were great. They really were crazy. They really were. We did party, believe me. I've told you that before, but it's true. I went to an old-fashioned, used-to-be-traditional brunch at O'Doul's and then back to the PNE, Pacific National Exhibition, for the last day. Brenda and I went on a couple of fun rides. What else? I went back to find out I was broke. Mistakenly thought I had a check waiting for me. Well, I have to economize. What a bloody piss-off. Still, what a very good summer. The car, new camping equipment, just these little tents, and all those weekends camping and seeing so much of BC. So every weekend, I just head off in the car and go camping all over BC. Hope to take a course soon, don't know what. Hopefully I'll end my independent streak and make an effort to meet a new woman. Would enjoy being able to write and tell you about it. That's the kind of secret you and I are lucky enough to share together. So looking forward to seeing you again and everyone else. Okay. Really miss the kids, too. I was the Uncle Ken to her children, and it was my favorite role. All right. Went back to Coinda today, the other shelter workshop. Really enjoyed seeing the gang again. I had my coffee with them, so I was talking. Page 4. Well, here it is, Sunday afternoon. Kind of a nice day. Wandered about Lynn Canyon Park for a while. Think you were there with Glenn? Maybe. Anyway, nice fall day. Sunny and cloudy. Joni Mitchell on. Haven't listened to her for a while. Listening to mostly classical. Would like to meet someone who has a good classical collection instead of the latest rock. Thinking of buying tickets for more concerts at the Orpheum. Would also like to get tickets for a few plays. The kind of thing you have to make a slight effort to do, not like movies. And I did do that. I bought theater tickets. I bought symphony tickets. I'm afraid of wasting time. It goes so fast and it's so precious. I can't afford to throw it away. Maybe by nature, but I always feel I want to squeeze more out of every moment, every experience. Now, there you go. Let me repeat that. Maybe it's my nature, but I always feel I want to squeeze more out of every moment, every experience. Could be a sign I need a change, or maybe it's just a reminder that reality is here now, and it's the present that has to be dealt with, not dreams of another place or time. I'm wondering, thought yesterday, maybe it's a dog or cat I want more than a girlfriend. I mean, I don't know how much I'm really willing to change my lifestyle. So I guess I'm just another mixed-up human, too. What else is new? Tired of being poor, too, but I can't see doing much about that. It's not as bad as that. I just like having something to worry about. Another family trait. And I know for sure I wouldn't be any happier if I was rich. I'd just find some other problem. Thought of taking an encounter-type course, transactional analysis, but don't think I have the guts for it yet. Now, I had already gone through intensive group therapy by this point. Years earlier. Well, I guess I'm looking for the next step. Must see the last Roots episode tonight. I've enjoyed them all. Good acting. Almost every issue they bring up has current implications. such a long way to go yet. Ever notice how isolated our environment has been? Like, how many black people did we know? How many poor? Meadowbrook and Lachine High, these are the schools we went to, were so sterile in that respect. And so was all Western Lachine. But the times, they are changing. So yeah, back then, it was definitely a WASP neighborhood. Actually, I even noticed it here. I'm guilty still. I mean, all my close friends are from Lachine. Harold broke out of our tight group. That is the Barstool Buddha, who's now still in Thailand. Broke out of the tight group at the expense of spending 6 nights a week in the Dover Arms. He was a heavy drinker. Maybe just one rut to another. I want to be a more open person, more open to people and new experiences. But it isn't easy, especially as I tend so much to be an observer. I'll go to new places and attempt to break patterns. I've succeeded at that through the variety of jobs and living experiences, but I'm still an outsider, still a person in a situation, but really watching it. That's why it's so frustrating that I don't have the necessary talents to be a writer, as that would justify my behavior. This goes way back, that feeling of never quite really belonging, of life being more like a movie. Still, it's entertaining, and maybe that's just the way I am. But we never escape wanting to be different, to be better somehow. So from all this, I know it isn't time for me to settle. I've got more places to see, more situations to be in. Hope I pick up a little more spirituality along the way. Would love to feel brotherhood with all the other pathetic humans on this planet. But feelings are meaningless unless we act on them. Therefore, brotherhood and love starts right here now. We have to be judged by our everyday actions, not what we wish to be or might someday become. I hadn't planned all this. Okay, last page. Got to be the last page or I'll just go on and on and on. Typing getting sloppy too. I strongly believe in a 4-day work weeks. Maybe we wouldn't feel so rushed then. I hate feeling the week fade away. How do you feel about your job? Okay. I hear talk of encouraging Dad to retire early. That's my dear father. But doubt that he will. Sure hope he keeps his good health so he can enjoy some of the time he's earned. Well, I gotta go do some dishes. Stupidly didn't buy anything fresh for supper, so may have to make do with canned dog food. That was a joke. Okay. I'm talking about going to see Holocaust next. Okay. Anyway, gotta get some sleep and mail this off tomorrow. And that's it. Love, Ken. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that gave you a little bit of insight. And to me, what's strange is really how little I have changed in all that time. I don't know if that should be reassuring. I guess there's a consistency. But yeah, I am who I've always been. Maybe it was lost somewhere along the way. Like maybe that, you know, I don't connect my time in Japan with that guy who was writing there, but the person I am now, I really connect with that 30-year-old. And I'm pretty sure if I had letters from when I was a university student, so I wasn't writing to anybody then. I got my letters from Europe. God, I'll have to go into those. Maybe that's what the Addiction Chains podcast will have to become. I always think maybe time to put this to rest, start something else. And I always think, no, it always ends up the same damn thing anyway. So, and I never really change anything. I'm just too lazy for that. It is whatever it is, because it is just this. Yeah. But maybe I'll dig in another letter from the past. If you enjoyed that, let me know, and that will encourage me. And if you didn't, remain silent, and I'll guess all the wrong things and say, fuck you bastards. All right, maybe that's the end. Bye for now from your friend, the one and only, true to his self, right from the start, the Scarborough Dude. Bye for now.
I listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, 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 never I never wanted water once. No, never, never, never. I listen to my words, but they fall far below. I let my music take me where my heart wants to go. I swam upon the devil's lake, but never, 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 I'll never make the same mistake. No, never, never, never.
Do I keep the overhead fan on, or do I turn it off for your listening pleasure? Yeah, it's off. Oh, man, I'm sitting in front of my computer. When I first got this iMac, I wasn't sure how to set it up so that I could keep all the stuff I already had. So I did it two different ways. I logged in one, sort of keeping all the information I had on previous Macs, and then another login as a fresh start. It was a stupid way to do it, but I was afraid of losing stuff. You know, when you can do these, Apple makes it easy for you to automatically integrate your content and so on, and I was really afraid. So I've logged back into the old one. I was looking for one piece of paper, a document from the booklet I make for my students. And I needed to change. One of the questions was, if you're at the Eaton Center, where is the best place to buy CDs? And the teachers point out to me, we don't buy CDs anymore. So we've changed that to jewelry. And I wanted to change it in writing. So I logged into the old account. And man, oh man, did this take me down memory lane. So suddenly I'm going back. And it's only going back to maybe 2004. But in computer years, that's a long time. And I'm just finding thing after thing that is so far gone. And I don't know if it's just a question of feeding memories. It's that, you know, we don't have the capacity to remember all the stuff. And we don't need to, because there's just so much new stuff going on all the time. But I found something that I had written for my company back in Japan. I had an idea for a course development. I mean, I studied curriculum development. That's what I was hired for. And I got an idea that, gee, it'd be good for students. You know, the content-based learning is so much better than just here's, you know, in the abstract, here's some English, you know, this is a pen. So I got the idea of making a story about a young Japanese girl who wants to study abroad, but isn't prepared for it. And I looked, and I had the entire course made, like a year, an outline for months of what chapter they do each day and what activities. And I had games and role plays and things to go with. Like, it was completely full course. It never went anywhere. So one of my weaknesses, I am creative. I recognize that now. When I look at this shit, holy, I found a whole set of columns from a character called Stuart Creemore. And it was for, we had a Canada-Japan newsletter, and I was going to do the Stuart Creemore column. And it was kind of a little off-center. There's this character who liked his beer, but he was making observations about Japan and Canada. Like the fact that he was upset that Japanese are starting to pick up the North American custom of shaking hands, and he's thinking how much nicer it is when you don't shake hands, because the number of men who go into the washroom, have a leak, and don't wash afterwards, you know, and he says, just check out any Tim Hortons on the 401, and you'll see what I mean. And it was just kind of a little bit rude, a little bit, he was a character. And, I must have had like 15 columns that I think half of them were never published and never put in, but it was just fun doing. But this entire course on Keiko Studies Abroad, I look at it now and I'm like, man, it was good quality. It was good writing. and it's something that, you know, it's marketable, but hell, I've done that. So maybe it's because I know that I'm thinking more now about bringing an end to this study tour. I've done 25, this will be my 25th complete tour, you know, one a year. It's time to end it now while I'm ahead, and or am I ahead? I don't know. Anyway, it's time to bring an end to it. But it's like also sort of saying, wow, look at all those other chapters, all those other pieces of, I'm looking at China travel. I'm looking at my studies at York University when I did the mediation program and never became a mediator. All the things that I started and that at the time I enjoyed. So it's not a regret. Oh, if only I'd been more ambitious. Well, yeah, if only I had been more ambitious, I might have completed, done so much more. And yet, hell, here I am sitting in my room, beautiful view. All I see outside the window is trees. This is a lovely house here in Scarborough. I've ended up well. You know, it's not like, oh my God, if only I had done that and, you know, where would I be today? No. But I've got another book here, a CAPS program on Japanese. I made an entire booklet in Japanese, in, you know, Japanese script. It's just, I'm so many pieces of my life that are laid down here that when this computer dies, they'll be gone forever and not forgotten. And I guess this stems from sort of that that letter. Wow, there was a time when I was doing three tours. A brand new school, 10 years ago. And all the data, all the information, all the planning, the booking, the arrangements, the staffing thing. I mean, looking at, you know, it goes by year, 2009. Who was working for me? What, you know? A life gone by, a life spent. What's this? Also, Wilfrid Laurier. Brock University, when I started taking courses, I was going to pick up another degree or another certificate for myself. I've got, what, four post-grad certificates? What did I do with them? Well, I just did them. That whole thing on counseling. So it's almost a feeling like, okay, if I give up this program and I give up more time, what? I've got all this experience. I do still have some of the creative juices. Sorry if it sounds again like I'm bragging, as so often this podcast is, but I'm telling myself, like, wow, why don't I do something? Why don't I take on something new? A new project, you know? And maybe that's part of the way I've lived my life. I've always needed this, and I know it. I just need this new challenge, this new stimulation, this new thrill, this new chance to approach something in my own unique way. Here's a podcasting chapter. Pab. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm sorry, but I'm going to end this off now. I've already gone over time. Sorry. I hope you enjoyed the music. I just made a note of what it was. And I've forgotten, but it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, memories are made of this. I guess a lot of the tunes I sort of knew and listened to when I was young. There's a Cat Stevens. I haven't played any of him. You would have just heard. But anyway, I guess this outlet, this Dixon Jane's podcast, is still something I need to express, to unload, to celebrate my life. I guess that's a big part of it too. I'm celebrating my life as it comes down, as I start to fall apart. It's a thrill to look back and say, hey, do you remember this thing? Look at all the stuff you did at Centennial College. And that already seems long ago and far away. And yet I look to the future and I look towards this upcoming unconference in Hamilton, which hats off to Anthony. He just started this thing on a chance. Didn't want to do it, but said, all right, I'll do it. Nobody else is. And it just gets more successful every year. And by success, I mean just a lot of fun, more people coming in. It's excellent. So thank you, Anthony. Really, indeed. We are very fortunate to have you as part of this whole contingent, this group. I hear Mark Blemis is even coming. Oh, my God. Mark and Andrea. All right. I'm going to close off there, but I just needed... I'm so... looking at this stuff has just fired me up. Like, wow. What else can I do? And that's a crazy thing when it's, you know, I got a house full of stuff I should be starting to unload and get rid of. Boxes and boxes and boxes of letters. A life, a full, rich life with lots of pieces that are going to be left behind. And what is the meaning of it all? I have no idea. Hopefully, maybe, there'll be some meaning in this podcast, but I'm starting to doubt that too. So, Scarborough Dude, once again, overtime, but thank you for listening. I gotta go on. I got productive things I have to do today, and I'm excited about that too. So, yeah, I still got it. I'm still doing it. I'm still being it. Yeah. Bye for now.